Amen.
Okay, we continue in the Gemara Makkos, Beis Amma Beis 2b. We now had a brisa that told us, besides the two cases, it didn't go on. Sorry. Nope.
Walrus.
Sorry. Thank you for telling me. So, David, you could use this Gemara. It's fine. Sure. You could. Of course, it doesn't want a mirror now. Oh. Okay. So, after the Mishnah gave us two cases where instead of giving the Edim Zomamim what they wanted to give the victim, we lash him. The Bryson now says that there are four cases about Edim Zomamim. Four things were said about Edim Zomamim. They don't become a halal. They don't go into exile. And they don't pay the kofar. So we're in the middle of they don't pay the kofar. And the reason that they don't pay the kofar, Gemara explains, is because kufra kapara. And that's the buzz clause. You should memorize those words. Kufra kapara, which means kofar is an atonement. And these people are not b'nei kapara ninu. These are people who do not need kapara. So again, let's just review that point over there to get it clear as we continue to, you know, dig in over here. What does it mean they don't need kapara? So again, when a person's a shor muad ox, kills another person, what's going on over here? So number one, first of all, I'd never mention what happens to the ox that gored. The ox that gored is killed. That's number one. We never mention that, but just bring that into play. Number two, the Torah uses a word that the owner should die, right? But it doesn't mean he should die. It means he dies in the hands of Hashem. Mm-hmm. And then it says, and he pays a kofar. Yep. Okay, now that kofar, right now, we think, to answer this question, this point, is that kofar is a kapara. Mm-hmm. It's an atonement. What is the atonement exactly? Well, since he has death in the hands of heaven, so now if he pays the money, that's the kapara, that's the atonement, so he doesn't get the death at the hands of God. Now we're plugging in Edim Zomamim now, false witnesses. So what are the false witnesses saying? Okay, well, they're saying that the animal gored. Now what's the effect of what they're saying? Two things. Number one is the ox will get killed. Mm-hmm. Number two is that the owner has death in the hands of God, if you say, right? And will have to make a payment to get out of the death of the hands of God. Now, something I didn't mention yesterday, I just want to put it out there anyway. So these Edim Zomamim, now that they're proven liars, what do we do to them? Well, all the Brisa said was, Ve'ein Mishalmin es ha-kofer. They don't pay the kofer. Okay, now, is there anything they pay?
No. I guess the ox.
Probably. What? They have to pay the value of the ox that they wanted to have killed. We didn't mention that yesterday. Because they intended on making the owner lose the ox. The ox would get killed. So that's clearly they have to pay. That's clearly a monetary issue. Mm-hmm. And therefore they have to pay. That's because the Bryce only said they don't pay kapara. All right, so they've got to pay for that. So they're not off the hook totally anyway. Okay, now why are they not paying the kofar? So the Gemara explains because kufra kapara, according to that understanding, that's an atonement. So let me bring you out another, I'll review one piece of information and give you a new piece of information. It's a Gemara that has a discussion the following. The Gemara says, what if the owner of the ox does not want to pay the kofar? Let's say in a regular case where it's true, it happened. He says, I don't want to pay. Can the Bezdin force him to pay? Can they take things away from him to make him pay? Gemara has a machlokes, and it remains unresolved. So it appears they cannot make him pay. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, that's in a regular case. So now let's pick it up a little bit over here. In a case where clearly the false witnesses are saying that his ox gored, and it's not true. So now what is the owner? Now, there's two things going on at the same time over here. Number one is he never was chayiv misa v'dei shamayim because God knows that it didn't happen.
Right.
Number two, is he going to even consider paying it?
He's a liar, why not?
He's not going to consider paying it. And based on the Gemara, it's unresolved, so we're not going to take the money from him either. So therefore, it comes out that the Adim Zomimim, in this particular case, regarding the fellow's payment of kofar, haven't really done anything. They haven't accomplished anything. As opposed to a case where they falsely testify, a guy was Mechalel Shabbos. Even if they falsely say it, but they're not disproven, the guy's going to get killed. So their plan was to kill him, and they're going to get killed. That's when you can apply Kasher Zom, as they attempted. But here, when they say his ox gored, it's never going to be that this owner is A, chayiv misa v'dei shamayim, B, that he'll even have to pay anything. So their testimony is absolutely worthless. And therefore, their attempt even isn't going to be successful insofar as getting the money out of this guy, although their lying will be successful to get the ox killed. And therefore, for getting the ox killed, they will have to pay. But for taking from the owner, they don't have to pay. I'm just clarifying it a little bit stronger.
Did the Gemara mention the fact that they have to pay for the ox, or didn't even mention it?
Gemara just says they don't pay the the kufra, the kofar. That's all it says. They don't say anything more than that. So we understand why they're not paying the kofar. Clearly, there's no reason in the world why they should not be paying the value of the animal, because clearly they were going to have the animal killed. Clearly, that's clearly a monetary issue. And therefore, the owner would have lost the value of the animal.
But all right.
Now, obviously, the owner.
If the animal is not killed, because they would.
Well, if
before the animal.
Doesn't matter.
Why do they have to pay?
As every case of Adim Zomimim, once the Bezdin makes a verdict, and before it is executed, at that point, Adim Zomim have to pay. That is the law of Adim Zomim.
Right.
So that's why he has to pay the value of the animal. They've made a verdict. They're going to kill the animal. Again, Adim Zomim works like this. Even if what the Bezdin decides is not done, we still do it to the Adim Zomimim. That is the law of the Torah of Adim Zomimim. Even if the person does not get killed, even if the animal does not get killed, once the Bezdin issues the verdict, and then the witnesses are proven false, we do to those witnesses what they attempted to do.
Right.
So that's why we make them pay for the value of an animal.
But if the owner of the animal was not fined,
he was found guilty. That's the case.
But the animal didn't gore. That's the whole point.
Sammy, what did the Bezdin rule? Tell me.
They ruled that the okay, fine.
They ruled what?
They ruled that the animal did kill.
And therefore, what's going to happen to the animal? What did they rule?
Be put to death.
That's it. They've already ruled.
It didn't happen.
Sammy,
none of the bases.
That's the whole basis of Adim Zomimim. In every case in the Torah of Adim Zomimim where we punish the witnesses, it's because it's when it didn't happen. It's when it didn't. That's what the Torah says.
So if it did happen, we don't?
That's right. Except for monetary issues.
If it did happen, they're not lying.
No. He's saying if it did happen, they executed?
No. Just to pay the money.
If it did happen, what? What do you mean if it did happen? If they executed what they said?
If the animal did go on.
Well, then they weren't lying. They weren't lying.
Okay, I understand.
Then, of course, they don't do anything. They're not lying.
Right.
Okay, now there's another issue that the Rishonim deal with. So now, they're not going to pay the kofar, right? They're not going to pay the kofer.
No.
Are they going to get lashed?
Well,
did the Brisa say they're getting lashed? Did the Brisa say they're getting lashed? What did the Brisa say?
They don't pay the kofer.
They don't pay kofer. Yeah. We already see that they got to pay the value of the animal.
Right.
Do they get lashed? Well, according to these Rishonim that have given the explanation of why they don't pay the kofer, did they ever have a chance of making this guy, was the guy ever chayv midei misa bidei shamayim?
No.
No. Did he really ever have to pay for the value of his life for an atonement?
No.
No. So if that's the case, why would you lash them?
Yeah.
Right.
When do we lash them? Well, really, you should be going into Golas, but for technical reasons, you can't go into Golas. The Torah says we're going to get lashed.
Right.
You should be a cholol, and your children should be cholos, but for technical reasons, some say you can't be. So when
lashed.
We can't do what we wanted to do, the Torah says you get lashed, right? But here, when we find out that they're liars, what are we going to do to them? He never really was able to make it that the guy needed a kapara. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
And when it's and the monetary issue is being taken care of anyway. So according to these Rishonim, they would not get lashed.
Mm-hmm.
However, we're just going to leave you with this, and now you know why Yeshiva Bachim spend all day learning Gemara. When you look at the Rambam and brings this case, exactly, he says they don't get lashed, which would need explanation. That's all I'm going to say. We're not having a deep level Talmud class here, but I'm just saying that's an issue. It seems the Machlokas Rishonim if they get lashed. But you can very well understand, according to the Rishonim, why, if the Bryce is going to list four cases where you don't make them suffer what they wanted to do, why didn't the Mishnah write these cases of the Bryce? Mm-hmm. Remember, the Mishnah gave two cases of a challel and galus. Why didn't they mention this case of kofar? Now, it's a really good question. If the law would be that these guys would get lashed, why didn't you put in the Mishnah?
Right. Yeah.
So according to these Rishonim, it's very good why it wasn't put in the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, what's a case of witnesses that we do what? Ketzad Eidim Nasim Zomamim, to get lashed instead of their punishment. That is what this Mishnah is saying. Where do we find Eidim Zomim who get lashed? Well, if in fact, like we hold it, these Rishonim, that they won't get lashed, that's why the Mishnah didn't cite it. The Bryce is fine. The Bryce just says they don't pay kofar. That's all. That's all. The Bryce is not talking about lashing. It's just saying they don't become a cholol, they don't become going to Golas, and they don't pay kofar. That's all. But it's not going to be. That's not going to go into our Mishnah. It says lashed. According to the Rambam, it will be a problem because the Rambam says it gets lashed. So why didn't the Mishnah put it in? That would be a question we can't answer.
Also, the Rambam, that would technically bring him two punishments: get lashes, and he has to pay for the cow that tried to get killed.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point too. Okay. Anyway, so now at this point we are feeling. And remember, we had a machlokes. The last thing we had a brisa when the pasuk says v'nosan pidyon nafsho. He gives a redemption of his soul. Rabbi Shmuel said it's the value of the one who was killed. Remember, what's the kofer? There's the owner of the ox and the victim. So Rabbi Shmuel says it's the victim. The victim gets killed. Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha says it's the value of the one who killed him. We think that what's the difference? Well, what's the nature of paying the kofar? It appears there's a machlokas. When you pay the value of the life, what's it for? Is it for an atonement or is it just a monetary issue?
Yeah,
well, it would appear that if you're paying the value of the person who got killed, it's a monetary issue. While if it's a payment of the owner of the animal's ox, then it would be a kapara.
Right.
It's a kapara. It's an atonement. Because for mice, I should be killed, so I'm paying the value of me. You see? If it's an issue that I'm chayav misa bidei shamayim, if we're saying the kofar is a kapara, that means I'm chayav misa bidei shamayim, I'm paying the money to get out of it. So whose money should I be paying? I should be paying my value because it's my life. Or the other way is looking at the kofar, the guy was not chayav misa bidei shamayim. He's not. It's just a monetary issue. You killed a man, you got to pay for his value. And there's no mitzvah Ishmael. Our brisa that's saying they don't pay the kofar must be holding it's a kapara, it's an atonement, and therefore there was no, he was never chayv mitzvah Ishmael, blah, 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 blah. But if you say it's a monetary issue, then why shouldn't they pay the monetary issue? Because he would have had to pay the money. Right? If it's not a kapara, if it's not a kapara, yeah. And it's not an issue being chayv mitzvah b'dei shamayim, it's a question of monetary restitution, then of course they should pay it. So our brisa would seem to be going like one rabbi and not the other. The Gemara is assuming that this machlokas as to whose value we're going by, the dead person or the owner, it would appear they think it's a machlokas, what's the nature of the kofar? And that's where we're up to this point, and that's how far we got to yesterday. Comes along Rav Pupin's going to say, no siree, you don't have to say that anyone says kofar is a monetary payment. Could be everybody holds that kofar is a kapara. Aye, why does the one fellow say you pay the value of the person who got killed? We can give an explanation. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says we do not have to say that the brisa, our brisa, that says they don't pay the kofar is only like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, who says that kofar is a kapara, and not like Rabbi Shmuel. Rav Papa says, no, it could be that even though there's a machlokas as to whose value we play, no, you don't have to say there's an argument about the nature of kofar. Could be the kuli alma kufra kapara. Could be everybody holds that kofar is an atonement. Even Rabbi Yishmael, who says we look at the value of the person who got killed, still says it's a kapara. Aye, so why doesn't he not say it's the value of the owner of the ox? Because there's a different point that's being argued. V'hacha, but here in that brisa, beha, in this aspect, called miflagi, they are arguing. Mar savar, the one says bidin nizik shamina, one says they both agree it's an atonement. But whose value are we looking at? Well, one says you look at the one who got killed. Now look, although the payment is an atonement for the owner of the ox, the amount of the payment is determined by the worth of the man who was killed. The Gemara is going to give the reason in a minute. Okay, we'll see in a minute. Umar savar, no. Bidamazik shamina. We go according to the value of the damager. Now, obviously, the second opinion is the simplest one to understand. If it's an atonement, I'd figure you go with the damager's value. But if so, why does the other rabbi, and that's the question, my time, my who, the Rabbanon? What's the reason of the Rabbanon? And once we say Rabbanon over here, it means the Tanakama. And that is, there's no name in the beginning there. Remember, we brought the brisa, the Nasan Pidyon Nafsha, say the main is like, there's no name. Mm-hmm. Tanakama, we call that the rabbis. So you have to understand, what's the opinion of the rabbis? Now, obviously, Rabbi Shmuel's view needs no explanation, because it stands to reason that if kofar is an atonement for the ox owner, it is his value that should be paid. But the Tanakama's opinion seems illogical. Mm-hmm. If kofar is an atonement for the ox's owner, why is it determined by the worth of the victim rather than the owner's own worth? That's the question. Moore's going to answer, it's a gzeira shava. There's a wording over here by the ox that's similar to a wording in another place. And in another place, we value the payment by the one who got the one who got damaged. So therefore, we're going to do the one who got damaged. It's not a logical explanation. It's one of these gzeiras hakosav explanations. It uses a certain word here by the payment. It uses a certain word somewhere else. In the other place, the payment is value of the victim. So therefore, it's going to mean the value of the victim here. It's not a logical argument. It's just gzeiras hakosav. We're going to have to look at both places and see where there's that common word, if you recall. Nemar, it says Hashasa. We're going to see the exact word in a minute. Lemata. It says Hashasa below in the verse detailing the kofar obligation. We'll see the exact word. Hashasa literally means imposition. It's really a bad English word. The word just doesn't really translate. You'll see in a minute. But it says it by the kofar obligation. Venemar Hashasa lamala. It says Hashasa earlier when it's talking about another case entirely, as you'll see in a minute, when we're talking about two men are fighting and then there was a pregnant woman who happens to walk by in the middle and is a victim a collateral damage, and a guy gave a punch trying to punch the other guy, but punched the pregnant lady, caused a miscarriage, the baby died. What do? You have to pay the value of the baby. The baby. That is the victim. The victim. And the word that is used is the word hashasa. Let's take a look at the entire verse. If two men are fighting, v'nakfu isha hara, and they hit a woman who's pregnant, v'yatsu yiladeha, and the baby goes out, she miscarries, v'lo yason, but there's no fatality to the woman.
Right.
Anoshe onesh, he shall surely be punished. Kasher yoshis, that's the word. It's not okay. Kasher yoshis olav bal ha'isha, as what? As the husband of the woman shall cause to be assessed against him. In other words, what they will assess. Kasher yoshis. The word yoshis means assess. Okay? V'nosam b'fui, he pays by the word of the judges.
So the husband of the woman?
It means how he will, what they'll say to be paid. That will cause to be assessed against him. Depends who hit. Doesn't matter. That's the detail. Okay. But your payment is, here's the critical word, kasher yoshis, as shall be assessed. Okay, that's the word we want to know. Yoshis, assessed. And what are we paying? Now, it's really the man who hit the woman killed the baby.
Right.
Are we valuing the value of the man or the value of the baby?
The baby. Is this atonement?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. But the word, that's the critical word. Yoshis is a very unusual word. It's not your standard word over here. So it says the word yoshis over there. But there when it says yoshis, it is the value of the victim. Same thing over here. Right, he shall be punished according to what the husband of the woman shall impose upon him. The husband's going to say, that's what it's worth.
Yeah.
The word, so it's yah, it says that pasuk, kasher yashis. And what does it say? By our pasuk. Our pasuk, when the person's ox scores, it says, look over in 31, im kofer yushas alav. If the kofar payment be imposed upon the owner of the ox.
Right.
You see the similar words.
Yeah.
Yushas, yoshis. When you have similar words in one place and the other, that means we learn from one to the other. Now, by the animal who kills the person, it's not clear whose value you're playing.
Yeah.
It's not clear.
Yeah.
Here it's clear. The baby's value.
Okay.
So therefore it makes it clear for us. So now this is the Gzeirah Shavah. Ma lahalam b'dinizik, just like over there in the case of the miscarriage. It's b'dinizik. We assess the value based on the victim. Afkan b'dinizik. Similarly here, we do it by the value of the nizik. Okay, because it's similar wording, Gzeirah Shavah. It says over here a similar verb, over there a similar verb. One, it's not 100% clear. The other one is 100% clear. So we say, that's explained us what it means over there. And that's why the Tanna Kamma holds you. So even though they hold it is a kapara, it is a kapara.
Yes.
But why are you using the value of the victim? Because we have Gzeirah Shavah. By the baby, it's the value of the victim. So over here, it's the value of the victim too. And Rabbi Shmuel, obviously, can see why he's going to argue. Rabbi Shmuel, but says, wait a minute, but it says, V'nosan pidyon nafsho ksiv. But it's written in the verse, and he shall pay a ransom for his life. Which within the context of the verse implies the subject of the verse, namely the owner of the ox. Right? V'nosan, the owner of the ox, gives pidyon nafsho, a ransom for his life. All right? So clearly he's giving a ransom for his life. So it's a ransom. It's a ransom, but it would be logical to say that it should be his value. But still in all, the rabbis say no. Now we go back to the rabbis. What are you going to do with that? V'rabbanan, and the rabbis, how are you going to explain that? E'ein, yes, true. Pidyon nafsho, he pays a ransom for his life. The pronoun his does refer to the owner of the ox,
right.
But the question is, how is the payment established? Miu, but kishai minon, when we assess, bidin nizik shai minon, we assess based on the value of the victim. In the view of the rabbis, the two points are not mutually exclusive. Although kofar is an atonement for the owner's life, because the word his in the phrase a ransom for his life unquestioned for the owner, the Torah sets the amount of the payment at the value of the victim. So Bekitzer, the Gemara concludes, you don't have to say it's a machlokas as what the nature of kofar is. We can say everybody agrees that kofar is a kapara. And Rabbi Yishmael holds, if it's a kapara, then obviously it should be the value of the owner of the ox.
Yeah.
However, the Tanakhama says, no, it's a kapara, but it can be the value of the person that he killed. That will give him an atonement for killing that person. And where does he get that? Because of the wording of Yushas and Yashis, Xerishav is suggesting that just like by the baby, it's done by the veil of the baby, it's done over here as well. You could say that the Chachamim don't have such a Xerishava. There's room to disagree with Xerishava. I don't want to go into the details of why they would argue on that. But you have at least, they say, well, we will disagree with that Xerishava. We don't have such a tradition of Xerishava. Remember, you have to have traditions. He doesn't hold this Xerishava, whatever. Bekitzer, the Gemara concludes that the liars do not pay the kofar. Why? Because the kofar is a kapara, according to everybody. The only issue is, whose monetary value do we pay? But it's a kapara, and therefore they don't need a kapara, these false witnesses, because they never created a situation where there was any danger that the owner would die in the hands of heaven. And that ends the third case of the Brisa. Any questions?
Yeah.
Who gets the money?
Who gets the money? In a case where you do have to pay it?
Yeah.
What, over here, there's...
Well, either way...
Over here, there's only the money of the ox.
No, in the case...
They lied.
So in the case of...
Where they don't lie?
Where they don't lie.
Goes to the heirs.
So, if it's a kapara, but it goes to the heirs, it's almost like it's financial restitution for the value of
it's based on atoning for his being chayiv misa b'dei shamayim.
Then why would it go to the heirs then?
It's got to go. Where would it go?
It'll go somewhere.
The temple. Maybe the temple.
It's an atonement. It's an atonement for killing. It's an atonement for killing this person. So now, who should benefit from the atonement?
Which I'm saying, I understand that. So that almost makes it read like it's a restitution to the family for the loss of their.
No,
their
because
member.
If it says it's a kapara. It's a kapara means he is chayiv misa bidei shamayim. That's the issue. That is not a monetary issue. He is chayiv. How does he get out of death in the hands of God? He has to pay the value of a life. That's it. As far as that point, it doesn't matter where it's going to go. But that's the reason why that money's there. And if there is no misa bidei shamayim, there's no money to pay. It makes sense that if you killed something, you need kapara for your animal killed somebody. So now you got to, so to speak, restore as much as possible that dead man's life.
Yes. Right.
How can you restore that dead man's life to what extent possible? By giving the money to his kids. You give it to the kids are suffering. You need kapara. You were responsible that an animal killed somebody. You are chayav misa b'dei shamayim for everything that you are responsible for. So you have to pay money to take off that misa b'dei shamayim. It makes sense. It should go to the victim's family because that's what you need kapara for killing that fellow.
I agree, it all makes sense.
And we said, and if he doesn't want to pay it, they can't force him to pay it.
Okay. Yeah.
That makes it not monetary. If it was monetary, the Gemara wouldn't have a shail and end unresolved. If it's a monetary issue, what do you mean? How could you say no? How could you even have a shail if it's a monetary issue? It's clearly not a monetary issue. Okay, let's just be... Yeah.
And when it's proven that they are Edom Zomimim, then the money of the ox goes to who?
Goes to the owner of the...
Owner of the ox.
No. Yes, the owner of the ox, because that's who was going to lose. He was going to lose the value of the ox. He has to pay the value of the ox.
Exactly.
but you don't have to pay the kofar.
Right.
And there's a machlokes if you get lashed. Rishonim. I'm only trying to get lashed. Okay, you could see why Yeshiva Baruch would spend the whole day on this, trying to understand why the Rambam says he gets lashed, why the Rambam says he doesn't get lashed, and how it gets worked. Okay, now we go to the fourth one. I don't know if we're going to finish it, but let's just start. They don't get sold as a Jewish slave. Okay, remember, the normal case is we're saying they lied. What are they saying? Reuven stole from Shimon. He owes money. Now here, it's not a question of Reuven saying, I don't want to pay. It's not a question of kofar here. This is a financial issue. He stole money. You have to pay. And now we've rendered, I don't got the money. Okay, well, we judges say you're going to have to be sold as a slave. Then we find out they're false witnesses. Yeah, yeah. Oh, so we should say they should sell these guys as a slave. No, they're not sold as a slave. Okay. Now you have to understand, why is that? And when would we say that? And what would happen to these guys? So there's a couple, as we say, havaminas. There are a couple first thoughts till we come to the final conclusion. Here are the issues on the table. Well, let's say, and we have to understand exactly when the judges say what they're going to say. Okay, what if they say he's guilty of paying? He's guilty of paying. We don't know if he has the money yet.
Sure.
I mean, let's put it this way. When do you have to wait for the judge to say what? Once the Besdin says he's chayav to pay, at that point, everything else just kicks into play. Well, if he's got the money, he pays. If he doesn't have the money, he's sold as a slave. You don't really need the Besdin to make a new declaration.
What happens if he
has... Wait. That's what we're going to get to. In other words, what did they lie? They lied and said, he stole when he didn't. Besdin says you owe $10,000. Stop. Now, at that point already, right? And let's say at that point we find that they're Edim Zomim.
Why 10,000?
All right. So, but what is the logical conclusion of saying he has to pay 10,000? Once Besdin says the verdict, so now what has to happen?
He has to pay
10,000. What if he doesn't have 10,000? He has to go to slave. So when has his slavery been decided? If he doesn't have the money, it's when he said he's guilty of stealing and has to pay back. So really, it's not you have to wait to disprove the Edim Zomim after the Besdin said he's going to get sold. It's really once they said he was a thief, he's chayef to pay.
Right.
At that point, everything else is natural consequence. Yeah. No more Besdin doesn't have to think, doesn't have to decide. Right. Say, pay the 10,000. I ain't got it. You ain't got it. Okay, we're going to have to sell you. Okay, so when the guys lie about being sold, and therefore they're not sold, maybe that's only in a case where the victim had the money. Mm-hmm. Okay? When the victim had the money, okay, so then they're not sold, because he wouldn't have been sold. But maybe if he doesn't have the money, maybe he is sold.
Right.
That's what the Gemara now is trying to figure out. What does the Braisa mean? That's what we're going to now analyze. Exactly what's the case precisely. So first we have a Havamina, and then we're going to knock it off. So Sava Rav Havnuna, maybe Rav Huna wanted to explain the Braisa like this. Hani Mili, when do we say that they're not sold as servant? The Eislei L'Didei, only where the accused has the money to pay the amount he was falsely convicted of stealing. Why? Because at the end of the day, their testimony would never have made him been a slave, because he had the money. The Migu, the Iulo Nisban, because since he would not have been sold into slavery, because a thief is not sold in slavery, he has the money. They also will not be sold into slavery, because their whole plans never were to get the guy to be sold as a slave, in this case, because he had the money. But what about in a case where they lied, and the guy does not have the money to repay it, right? Even though the liars, even though they have the money to pay, Mizdavin, they should be sold. Right. Maybe in that case they would be sold. Because right. they wanted to make him sold. And even though they have the money, but what did they want to do to him?
Yeah, but they didn't know if the guy had the money at night when they were...
Oh, that's going to be the answer. So Gemara questions how anyone could have said that Bryce's ruling, but the lame relay, but then why should the witnesses be sold? They could say, I'm Tavalach, if you have would have had the money, me have a mistaven, would you be sold? Right. So Ananami, us too, Lozivit, if we have the money, we shouldn't be sold.
Right.
And so therefore, what'll they? They'll have to pay.
Yeah.
They'll have to pay. Okay? Ella, so that is out. So now Rav Huna says, well, maybe the following. Maybe Ella Sav Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, I'll tell you what. Hani Mili, when do we say he doesn't get, when do we say that they're not sold? Hecha de islay olidi deodo. Either the victim or they have the money. If either one has the money, you wouldn't sell them. Avol hecha de islay olidi deodo. What if he doesn't have money and they don't have the money?
Right.
Then I would think, Ms. Davin, who? Right? Then I would think he would be sold.
Oh, yeah.
So now maybe the time we say they don't get sold is either the victim has the money or they have the money. But if nobody has the money, then maybe he should get sold. Amalei Rava says nothing doing, because look at what it says about a thief who has to be sold. It's again a pasuk. Again, we're coming to a pasuk. It says, V'nigma nimkar bignevu so. He is sold for his stealing. He should be sold for his theft. The only time you sell a person is when he steals.
Right.
Amar Rachmana. Did the Eidim Zomim steal?
No.
Big Nevoso, by stealing, Velo Bizamama, but not by Hazama. It didn't have to say the Nimkar, Big Nev, he sold for his, obviously he's being sold for his theft. What else? That's the whole context. Why does it say he sold for his theft? To say, only when it's for theft are you sold. So just like by Golos, and just like by the Cholol, it's a Pasuk that's saying why he's not. Maybe logically they should be sold as slaves, because that's what they wanted to do. But no, the Torah says you only sell a person if he stole. So do some witnesses who testified that someone is, well, that's not it. So therefore the Brisa means to exclude some case from being sold in all cases. Now, would he get lashed then? Would be an interesting case. Maybe they would, because there's, you know, even if there's no money to go around, there's no money, you know, maybe.
They would get lashes.
Or, but really, what did they say? But really, they lied. They have to pay money.
Yeah, but they don't have the money.
They have to pay money. Well, they'll have to owe it. It's a question. That's the fourth case. Then next case is Rabbi Akiva, the fifth case.
So what happens if you have to pay 10,000 and you have 9,500?
So then you're sold as a slave for 500. Obviously, you have opportunity to borrow from somebody, whatever.
Are you going to be in tomorrow?
Tomorrow morning I'm here.
Okay.